2-9739. I'm Askia Muhammad. Thank you for listening.
WPFW, Washington.
Good evening and welcome to the Ruckus Caucus, live now. Live at Ben's Next Door. Next door to Ben's Chili Bowl, 12th and June. Mark, Terry, and Garland, three minds linked and locked in analysis, wit, and sagacity. Every Tuesday night, live. Live right here, 7 p.m., WPFW, 89.3 FM. Welcome again. Live with Terry, Mark, and Garland, and the Ruckus Caucus. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Ruckus Caucus. I am, oh, you're so lucky, I am Terry D. Kester.
He's already forgot his name.
That's right.
Yes, go ahead. Who are you?
I think my name's Garland Nixon.
You are right. Very good.
And this is Mark Levine.
Men, Mark
Worried
Levine.
About Terry.
Yeah, worry about me all you want, kid. I'm doing fine. Hey, we have an exceptionally different kind of show tonight for you on the Ruckus Caucus. We are down at Ben's, broadcasting, of course, on WPFW, 89.3 FM Pacifica.
1211 U Street, for those of you who want to join
That's
us.
That's not where WPFW is.
That is where Ben's is. That's
Ben's
where we
door,
are.
Yeah.
Keep, don't confuse, don't confuse the listeners. Come on
if
down
they
to
want
Ben's.
To come see come us, that's where they go,
right
Terry.
Now. Yeah, come on back in the restaurant to the mezzanine. We're up here with Jeffrey and the full house, but there's room for you.
Yeah.
So come on down to Ben's.
There are a few empty seats left.
And we're doing something unique tonight, guys. We are doing not only we're doing Pledge Drive, of course, for WPFW and for the Ruckus Caucus, but we are doing the Pledge Drive live right here in Ben's as well, because we are featuring a phenomenal book tonight that I'm going to get to in a minute. And you can get a copy of the book tonight. We'll tell you more about it in a minute. If you come right down to Ben's, you can get it in person. And a $65 pledge, you get the book. We'll explain it to you in a minute. So come on down to Ben's. Join in the Ruckus Caucus. Join in the fray. Join in the incredible information we're going to give you tonight. And make a pledge and pick up the book right on the spot.
Man, what that more sounds like a pretty good
plus you can harass
what
Terry.
So you get all those benefits
yeah, all in one.
You know, it's all that. And, you know, basically for free except for your pledge to keep WPFW on the air. All right. With that
well, should we also tell them that $35 is a membership and $100
is
an evening with the Ruckus Caucus?
Holy moly.
Yeah, you can get an evening with the Ruckus Caucus, which is, you know, it's sort of like a David Lynch movie.
Invaluable.
But, you know, it's invaluable.
What is it, like Hangover 2?
Well, Jeffrey knows what a David Lynch movie is.
It is not like a David Lynch movie. Well, maybe your part.
Right. I certainly hope not. I unfortunately watched one last night. Anyway, for the pledges, you can if you're not going to make it down to Ben's, which you really, really, really should do.
Which
why don't
you probably
give out
are.
The phone number,
the
Terry.
Number is 703-588-9703.
Isn't it 202? 202. Terry, do you know
are
what
we
area code you're in?
Are we in Washington?
Yeah, we're in Washington.
Terry went off his meds, Scott.
Yeah.
We're in trouble.
The traffic was so bad, I was sure I was still stuck in Kansas. I mean, I really.
No, 703 is Northern Virginia, but that's
202-588-9739. You can call 703.
Or 1-800.
Or 1-800-222-9739. The pledge to WPFW. I'll give you one little fact just to keep you posted on what all of this costs. Believe it or not, monthly rent for WPFW, what would you guys think it is?
$12 and...
A little higher.
$15,500.
$15,000
a month. That's a month. Yeah. I mean, I can go on with all the bills if you want.
Can
but,
we protest to get... Oh, wait. I probably shouldn't say that on the air.
But obviously, we're not in a rent-controlled building. But obviously, WPFW needs your support, as does the Ruckus Caucus. All right, let's get to
that
our
topic.
That doesn't
include the cost of the transmitter.
That's right.
Yeah,
or gas and
right.
electric, or, you know...
Okay. Hey, tonight... We are featuring an incredible book titled World on the Edge, How to Prevent Environmental and Economic Collapse. The book.
That's great, because I wouldn't want environmental or economic collapse. So I'm glad we have this book.
One of the things you're going to learn, you know, from this tonight, I mean, is that the economic and the environmental collapse that is pending,
You mean it hasn't already happened?
I thought we got the economic collapse. Well, right. And the Arctic ice circle
Memphis
melting.
Is underwater.
I think we've already done this, Terry.
This is the surface, guys, what we've experienced so far.
Okay.
And according to one of the experts, a renowned expert quoted in the book is by Lester R. Brown. He is the president of the Earth Policy Institute here in Washington, D.C. Let me just...
What is the Earth Policy? Perhaps we should ask our guest.
We're going to get to our guest. You know, I mean, you know, let's not give him any more airtime.
People want to hear
our
guest more than you, Terry.
That's not true.
Particularly Mark and I.
Don't hurt me. Jeffrey, do you know? Never mind. I'm not going to pick on Jeffrey. Our guest tonight is Matt Roney. And he is, hey, Matt. Yes, welcome, Matt, to the Raucous Caucus.
Very nice to be here, Terry. Thank you.
He's obviously a very brave man. I mean, one, he's coming.
He's sitting next to you.
Yes, he's sitting next to me. You know, he's at the Raucous Caucus. He is one of the top researchers at the Earth Policy Institute, and he graduated from the University of New Hampshire with a B.S. in environmental conservation, summa cum laude.
Wow.
Matt was been with the Earth Policy Institute now for the last what? 5 years, about almost 4 years.
4 years.
Four
almost.
Years. And he works closely with the research team on all of the publications and this phenomenal, and I do mean phenomenal and essential book, World on the Edge.
And once again, Terry, how much? What? How much do we need?
$65.
$65.
$65. You get the book and membership, of course, in WPFW. And again, just to give you that number, just in case you forgot, it's not a 703 number, as some would have you think.
You're right.
It's a 202
number. Twisted mind.
588-9739.
Can we ask our guests what the Earth Policy Institute is? Because some of us are too ignorant.
That's a good idea.
That would be me to know what it is.
Okay.
All right. So Earth Policy Institute is a small nonprofit environmental research organization here in D.C., and we focus on global environmental trends such as climate, energy, deforestation, population and poverty, basically anything that has a world scope. And we try to not only tell people about the problems that we face, but also the solutions, that there is hope.
I'm glad to know there are some solutions.
Yeah, that's one of the unique things about this book and about the Institute. It graphically states the problems and Plan B, which we'll get to a bit later. It outlays in very specific terms the solutions.
That's good, because Plan A isn't working.
It isn't working too well, no. And again, as I started to say, you know, I mean, one of the top economists involved with this institute does honestly say we've got about 9 years. We're in a perfect storm environmentally.
Yep. 2020. The world ends. Is this one of those Mayan prophecies?
That's 2012. If we get past that, then...
Oh, that's 2012.
But wait a minute. I just saw a billboard that said it was May 21st.
Well, that's for you, Garland.
Oh, okay.
You know,
it was specifically for me, May 21st.
How would you feel, Terry, if he died on May 21st? You'd feel awful.
I would.
But he'd just celebrate having more time on the air, knowing Terry. Oh, boy, more time for me.
We didn't say the year. It could be May 21st, 2112.
He'd suggest renaming it to the Terry Kester and Friend Show.
If we did, there wouldn't be a May 22nd.
You know, we could just keep Matt on the air with us. We could bring Jeffrey in. But we hope you don't.
Yeah. I'm telling you right now, right out there on 50, there is a big poster.
That's another show, Garland.
Don't make any reservations for a hotel for May 22nd.
I didn't know you were a true believer, but calm down. You know.
All right.
Back to the book. Donald Trump.
Back to the book. Back to Les Brown's World on the Edge: How to Prevent Environmental
Economic. Just give you a few ideas of what some other people have said about this book and about Lester Brown, President Clinton.
I've heard of him.
The big dog.
Yeah, he tells us how to build a more just world and save the planet in a practical, straightforward way. We should all heed his advice. The Financial Times, the best book on the environment I've ever read. Ted Turner, it's exciting, a masterpiece.
What did Al Gore say?
Time Magazine.
I wonder if you got the Al Gore seal of approval.
Al Gore isn't here. A great blueprint for combating climate change.
We're fans of Al Gore.
Yeah. Al Gore's a fan. Okay. I trust you.
This book is essential. It truly, truly is.
Yep.
And you go through the list of people that have praised this book. It's absolutely incredible. I want to give you a few facts, and we're going to get right into it. These are from the Earth Policy Institute. By the year, by tonight.
Oh, no.
Tonight. There will be, at the dinner table tonight, 219,000 people that were not there last night. That's how fast the population is growing. Every single day, 219,000 people looking for food a day.
Wow.
A day.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. In 2010, the heat wave that centered in Moscow, if it had been over Chicago, in Chicago, it would have reduced the U.S. grain harvest of 40 million tons by 40%.
Wow.
We are talking catastrophic here.
At least the Mississippi River isn't questing 48 feet.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Well, that's the other. We're going to look at three things tonight. We're going to look at food, water, and energy, and then the solution, part B. So I don't really know where to begin with all this, Matt, because
we can begin by reminding our listeners that WPFW is, we're kind of a lone voice out here in the wilderness.
The Lone Ranger.
That's right, because we're not taking money from the you-know-who brothers.
The corporations.
Yeah, the you-know-who brothers, the billionaire brothers. And so we actually want to save the environment, but and we do not have a corporation who's funding us.
We need your help, Al Gore. So what we
need our listeners to A,
jump
help
in.
WPFW stay on the air so we can continue to give this message, and B, to you need this book, you need to read it yourself, you need the information, so both of them go together. How much
would
that
take?
$65
pledge. 202-588-9739, 202-588-WPFW. Or 1-800-222-9739.
WPFW may be the only thing between you and total economic and ecological destruction.
Now let's get to our guest. $65 could save us all. We're going to
do something now, Garland, that I know is brand new for the Raucous Caucus. We're going to get serious for a moment.
Okay.
You know, calm down.
You? Serious?
Yeah. Matt, what is the problem with food? What is going on with the supply, the distribution of food that Americans really need to be aware of?
Well, we have, in the past, food price spikes have largely been event-driven. You know, a weather event, you know, Soviet Union, a crop failure there. We could have a monsoon failure in India, devastating the harvest like it did in the 1960s. But most of the time, in the next year or so, the harvest would be back to normal. We'd be able to, you know, the U.S. would sort of come to the rescue, put more acres into whatever crop was necessary, and bump up supplies, bring prices back down. But now the food price spikes that we're seeing, we saw in 2007 to 2008 when we had food riots in 30 countries, when we had millions of people go into the ranks of a hungry Haiti's government collapsed in that time. And we're sort of seeing the continuation of that food crisis now into 2010 and 2011. The basis of that is a bunch of trends on the demand side and the supply side. So on the demand side, as Terry was saying, we have 219,000 more people to feed coming to the dinner table every night, many of them with empty plates.
And also, developing countries now want meat, right? China and India.
Exactly.
And places
that's
like that.
That's another part of it is what we call eating higher on the food chain.
And it costs more money to feed an animal grain and then eat the animal than to just feed the human the grain.
It takes a large amount of grain to produce 1 pound of flesh on an animal, whether it be a cow or a pig
or even a chicken.
So the more meat, the more livestock products like milk and eggs as well that people are eating around the world, that's a bigger strain on farmers trying to keep up with the demand in grain. So that's another one. And the third really big new factor stressing, you know, on the demand side is ethanol production, especially what we're doing here in the United States, turning corn into fuel for cars rather than feeding people.
That is really having an effect.
It's having a huge effect. Yeah. Since 2005, when we really started seeing investment in ethanol distilleries grow at an enormous rate, after gas, I think, hit $3 a gallon after Hurricane Katrina, it became very profitable to turn corn into ethanol for cars. And so we've seen this massive investment so that now we're putting about a third of our corn into fuel for cars rather than feeding people. And that's
one third of it?
Yep.
Wow.
On the bright side, some very, very rich farmers are getting taxpayer subsidies.
That's correct. So what we're doing is subsidizing rising hunger around the world. So here in the United States, we don't necessarily see
the effects. Say that again. I want our listeners to really hear that. We're subsidizing
hungry people. We're subsidizing building the ranks of hungry people around the world.
Now, how do we do that? How does our taxpayer dollars make more people hungry?
So if we shift more of our corn, more of our grain supply into fuel for cars rather than feeding people, which, by the way, the U.S. is the biggest world grain exporter. So still. And so this has an enormous effect on prices when we have less going into people's mouths and into a gas tank. That boosts prices. And so
if we had wind energy or geothermal energy or any kind of renewable resource, that would actually not only help us in the energy field, it would lower food prices.
True. I mean, we could. One of the quickest things that we could do to bring down food prices worldwide is to eliminate the mandate for biofuels in our fuel supply. There's a couple of interesting facts here that I want to point out. The amount of ethanol that goes into a 25-gallon tank of an SUV, fill it up once, that's equivalent to the grain needed to feed one person for a year.
Really?
And 2.5 gallons of ethanol would feed
25.
Yeah, but
25
I think
gallons.
It's 10% ethanol, right? When you fill in the tank.
No, I'm talking about full ethanol. If we were to fill it all with ethanol, if it was E100,
it was enough to feed a person for a year.
And another thing, the proponents of ethanol here in the United States will tell us that it's going to lower our dependence on foreign oil. That's one of the big ones. We did a calculation at Earth Policy Institute a couple years back that said if we turned all of our grain land into corn for ethanol, that means we're not producing any grain to feed people anymore, just corn for ethanol, that would take care of roughly 18% of our fuel needs, our liquid fuel needs in this country. And part of that is because ethanol, it doesn't pack as much of an energy punch as a gallon of gasoline.
Let me ask you this. I've never been a big fan of ethanol, but I have praised, and you can tell me I'm wrong. Terry tells it all the time.
Yes.
I have praised Brazil, which has used sugarcane to finance a lot of its fleets. Are you against what they're doing as well? Is that better than ethanol, or is that just as bad?
Sugarcane-based ethanol is better in some senses than corn-based ethanol. One, you're not taking a staple food out of production for feeding people. So that's one thing. Number two, it's much more efficient. You get a much bigger bang for your buck in a gallon of
sugar. So it could still make
ethanol.
Sense for Brazil to do what it's doing and not make sense for us to do what we're doing.
One of the big problem with agriculture in Brazil that we see is deforestation to expand cattle production and soybean production.
Right.
So that's the big one there. Sugarcane is much more efficient than corn-based ethanol. So that's something that we would
And let me throw something out to our listeners. If you think this is a very interesting conversation, chapter 12 of this book is called Feeding 8 Billion. So I'm
8 billion.
So I guarantee that you can probably learn a lot about that, about what we're talking about right now from chapter 12 of the book, which is Lester R. Brown, World on the Edge, How to Prevent Environmental and Economic Collapse.
Let me ask you one other thing, Matt, that, we haven't discussed.
Well, let me give out the number.
Please.
Right.
202-588-9739.
Yeah. That's right. So if you want
we
this,
could use your pledge.
Yes.
WPFW,
$65.
Pledge.
So chapter 12, Feeding 8 Billion, if you think this is a great conversation. And, you know, you want to sound like really smart around your friends.
You get around your friends
and they're having a conversation about this stuff. And you want to sound like, you know, you're the really
like you
the
know
intellectual
what you're
in the
about?
Room. Just read chapter 12.
And
nothing else.
For 100, you meet us. And for 165, you meet us and get the book.
Yeah.
There you go. 165 books. Books.
That buys
you only
the
get
book
one book.
And the three of us.
202. 588-9739 or outside of D.C. It's
1-800-222-9739.
And the book is called Lester R. Brown's World on the Edge, How to Prevent Environmental and Economic Collapse. This is a must. This is a must, particularly for Raucous Caucus listeners, because we know you're all a bunch of radical lefties like we are.
Because you care about the environment, you care about the planet. You're not one of those Tea Party activists that just cares about themselves.
Yeah. Right. If this book doesn't take you to the barricades, I don't know what will. I mean, it's very scary.
Terry's always going to the barricades.
Right. Well, me and John Conyers, you know, I mean,
that's right.
You know, we're going together. But anyway, I want to get back to Matt, because there's one thing in this book that I hadn't seen before, and that's about land grabs and the effect that is having on the food supply. Tell us about land grabs. Like, this food supply we're talking about, this is not, you know, over there somewhere. This is a worldwide distribution problem. And I think the thing that the Institute points out so well, and Matt will be addressing throughout, is this is not a local problem. This is not a national problem. This is worldwide. Everything is interconnected. Tell us about these land grabs that are going on.
Well, I guess we should start with the food crisis of 2007 and 2008 when food prices started spiking.
Are we still in that crisis? Is
I
it
think
that 2007 through 2011?
Yes, but food prices did go back down
a little bit,
not to their historical levels. They were still about double historical levels in terms of corn, wheat, rice, and soybeans.
Right now they're at hysterical levels.
they're approaching their record highs that they met in 2008.
So what caused that?
Farmers were having a hard time keeping up with demand. I mean, what we have right now is a situation where we need basically a record harvest just to keep up with the rise in demand. And we were just talking about ethanol. From 1990 to 2005, the annual growth in grain demand was...
And this is worldwide demand.
This is worldwide demand.
Now, we buy a lot of products from China made by child labor and all kinds of stuff.
But they buy it from us. Yeah, but
I want to get to this land grab thing,
you know, because that's part that Americans and our listeners don't even know about.
So the world rise annually in grain demand was about 20 million tons from 1990 to 2005. Since then, it's doubled to about 40 million tons. And most of that is because of ethanol production. So that's been a big driver in raising food prices, you know, raising demand and raising food prices as well. So in 2007, 2008, food prices are spiking. Countries who produce a lot of grain and usually export a lot of it wanted to keep it in their borders to keep domestic prices down. Mm-hmm. Places like Russia, Thailand, Vietnam, producing rice, they ban exports or severely restrict them, and that has the effect of raising prices globally, and so it just exacerbates the situation. So other countries started to lose confidence in being able to get secured supply of grain off the world market, and they decided to look abroad. Some of the more, some of the wealthier grain importing countries, like Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. and like South Korea, for instance, decided, well, we can't boost production enough here at home. We can't rely on the main exporters. So what we're going to do is go abroad to places like Sudan and Ethiopia, and lease or buy land outright. To produce food to export back home. And
Saudi Arabia, South Korea, other countries, other corporations,
China, India,
they own part of the developing
land
world.
In Africa. They're taking the land in Africa.
Exactly. And that's not just Africa either. You know, there are places in Siberia and Russia, for instance, that are being farmed by the South Koreans to produce corn and rice to export back home.
And this is partially because they're aware that the crisis is real.
Exactly. This is a manifestation of their fear that they won't be able to secure their grain supplies in the near future. And so what's very ironic about this is that Ethiopia and Sudan are home to millions upon millions of people who depend on the World Food Program for their food supply.
Right. There's famine there.
They're getting emergency food aid. Meanwhile, India has several hundred thousand acres in wheat and rice that they're growing to export back home.
In Ethiopia, they're exporting it back to India.
Right. South Korea has about 1.7 million acres that they're growing wheat on to export back home in Sudan.
I mean, this is phenomenal. I mean, this is, again, the reason I brought up, I didn't even know those details, but, you know, that, I mean, this is robbery.
How much of food and oil prices is a result of speculation?
Speculation does have something to do with it. I don't know in particular the sort of share what speculation is doing versus what ethanol
is doing. Is this a bubble of some kind?
Well, what we're looking at in many countries are water-based food bubbles, actually. I mean, you say the word bubble, and that just makes me want to get this point out, that places like Saudi Arabia, for instance, one of the reasons why they're looking abroad is because they've had to phase out their wheat growing program. In the 1970s, they knew during the OPEC oil embargo that they were vulnerable to a counter embargo in grain and would no longer be able to get the supplies they needed. So they decided to pump an aquifer, a non-replenishable aquifer of groundwater under the desert and basically farm the desert for wheat and become self-sufficient in it. And they did for a couple of decades. But then in 2008, they announced that their aquifer was largely depleted and that they needed to phase it out by 2016. So now they're basically going to be an importer of all their grain. And we think it's by next year, actually, because [S2] Wow. [S1] Of the rate at which it's dropping so quickly. So we see water-based food bubbles in many countries now where water tables are falling and wells are going dry in countries that hold half the world's people. That includes India and China and the U.S. And the Ogallala Aquifer, for example.
The sad thing about this, there's a sad thing about this conversation, and that is you should be turning on the major news networks, you should be looking at mainstream television, and you should be hearing these things.
No, you got to hear where Obama has the long-form or short-form version of it.
Because that's important stuff.
Yeah, I mean, millions of people starving are not as important as what hospital
that's right.
Barack Obama was born in.
But there is somewhere that you can hear it. There's one place that you can hear it. WPFW 89.
And right now at Ben's next door, if you'd come down and join us here at 12th and U.
Yep, 89.3 FM, WPFW here in Washington. And we are proud at the Raucous Caucus. We're proud that while we laugh and joke and say all kinds of crazy stuff, we're able to bring you some very, very serious things. And we're able to do some things that we feel helps the planet, that we are contributing to the conversation. And what we need you to do is contribute to show your support for the Raucous Caucus. We need you to show your support for WPFW. The number is 202-588-9739.
Really, any gift is appreciated any number. $35 gets you voting membership. $65 gets you the book.
World on the Edge by Lester R. Brown. How to prevent, this is important, how to prevent environmental and economics collapse. You need to read this. If you talk about this stuff, if you discuss this stuff with friends, you need to read this book so you'll know what you're talking about, so you'll have a powerful argument.
And I want to add one thing to this book. This book is so specific in its information. It's an excellent read. It's an easy read in terms of access. It's not, you know, scientific jargon or anything else. It is so specific in what is going on in the world, land grabs just being a perfect example, and the connection between the economic situation and the food situation and the water situation and the energy. They're all interconnected. We are headed for a perfect storm. This book really defines this.
Just $65. Let me read you in the table of contents some of the chapters so you'll know. Falling water tables and shrinking harvests. Rising temperatures, melting ice, and food security. Environmental refugees, the rising tide. But it goes on to some solutions. Restoring the economy's natural support systems, eradicating poverty, stabilizing population, rescuing failing states. So it isn't all doom and gloom. There is some doom and gloom, but there are actual solutions. And there are things here that you may want to be a part of, or there may be things that you can do to actually have an effect on the problem.
And I should mention, too, that the solutions are not just, you know, idealistic titles like the chapters are. There are specifics, which we'll get to in a bit, of things that can be done by governments, that can be done by the United States, that the people, that's you guys out there, really need to start.
Just $65, support the Raucous Caucus, support WPFW, keep us on the air. What's the numbers, Mark?
202-588-9739.
We're going to, you know, there's so much little time to get all this in, that, you know, so we are hoping the listeners are really calling in frequently, and we hope some of you are coming down to Ben's next door to join us.
There is something that, there is something right I do want to hear about there. I find this interesting, and I think our listeners will too. Chapter 2, falling water tables and shrinking harvests.
You read
what can you tell us about falling water tables? Because now we're hearing things about water wars and in the future, and what do we need to know about falling water tables that we don't already know?
Well, I was speaking briefly earlier about Saudi Arabia's problem, and their water-based food bubble bursting isn't a big deal in terms of world grain supplies. That's not going to have a big effect on grain prices worldwide. We're not going to see that in the stores, and it's just sort of a drop in the bucket. But in India and China, they're doing much the same thing, mining groundwater, taking it out of the ground faster than it could be replenished, or in the case of fossil aquifers, ones that aren't replenished, when they've depleted those aquifers, farming ends. So there's no option to continue. That's what Saudi Arabia is dealing with. And that's what's happening in the North China Plain that produces much of the wheat and corn that that China produces. So the estimates are that in China, 130 million people are being fed with grain produced by overpumping aquifers, unsustainable food production, supporting about a tenth of the Chinese population. In India, it's 175 million people. So when these bubbles burst, which we don't know when it's going to happen, but given the other environmental problems that they're facing, it could happen very soon. That will be a big problem for everyone around the world, including us, those of us in the U.S., because if China can no longer sustain its grain production, they're going to come our direction, because we are by far the largest grain exporter.
And that causes our prices to go up.
Exactly. So the reason why we haven't seen, we've seen some food price increases here in the United States, but when people go to the grocery store and they buy a loaf of bread that maybe costs $2 whole wheat bread, there's about 10 cents of wheat in that loaf of bread. So if the price of wheat...
10 cents?
Yeah, because most of it's transportation, packaging,
right.
All of that.
So advertising.
Exactly. So if the price of wheat doubles, we pay an extra 10 cents on that loaf of bread. It doesn't really affect
us. That doesn't sound that bad.
But if people in India who go to the market and buy wheat to grind for their chapatis, for their staple food, if the price of wheat doubles, then their grocery bill just doubled. And they're already living low on the economic ladder. They make
so what does that mean? Does that mean, I mean, we got to take a break soon, but after the break, I want to know if that means violence, revolution. What does that mean for?
Well, we're already in the Middle East. Part of the reason for revolution was, you know, there's high unemployment. low-income levels, and food prices are rising.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a
failed
part
states.
Of it.
In other
when
words,
it comes down to it,
it is time to take a break. We are going to be right back here on the Raucous Caucus. I am Terry D. Kester with
Garland Nixon
and Mark Levine,
and our special guest Matt Roney from the Earth Policy Institute. We'll be back with more information. We need your pledges, of course, at
202-588-9739. Pledge during the break.
My name is Chris Wood. I'm born and raised in the D.C. metro area. I'm a longtime listener of WPFW-FM. WPFW connects me to the community unlike any other radio station or, for that matter, any other means at all in the community. I've enjoyed listening to various programs over the years, particularly the Oldies House Party and 2K Nation, because it gives young people an opportunity to express their perspective and learn the broadcast business. Democracy Now! Because it brings a different slant on the news that you don't hear otherwise. When I'm not in town, I listen to WPFW on streaming audio on my iPod, so I'm always connected to my favorite station. As a longtime listener, I'm also a longtime supporter. And as the station depends almost entirely on listener donations, I urge each and every one of you who is a listener to make a donation to the next pledge drive.
Into the night and back to the Raucous Caucus.
That's the number you got to call to save WPSW, to keep us on the air, to keep Raucous Caucus on the air. 202-588-9739. I am Terry D. Kester with
Garland Nixon
and
Mark Levine.
You can use your credit card. You can use your credit card to pledge.
You can use cash. You can use stamps. We don't care.
That's it.
As long as you join WPFW and become a member of it.
Do we take beads?
Depends on the beads,
okay.
My friend.
All
depends
right.
on the beads.
We take mint as long as it's governed mint. What are they going to get?
They are going to get this incredible book from the Peace Policy Institute and by Lester R. Brown, who's the president of the Earth Policy Institute.
Yes.
Right? I said that wrong. I said peace policy. Sorry. But it's the same thing.
We're into peace as well.
Yeah, we're not going to have any peace in the world.
If we're all hungry.
If this thing continues. The name of the book is World on the Edge, and the subtitle, How to Prevent Environmental and Economic Collapse.
And for just a pledge of
$65. If you rush down here to Buttons Next Door at 12th and 11th, no.
12th and U Street.
Yeah. If you rush
Terry
down here, you can join the show. No, it's a very confusing day. If you rush on down here, not only can you join the show in the Raucous Caucus, you can participate. You can get a book right here.
That's right.
Because we have the pleasure of having Matt Roney, who is the head researcher, one of the head researchers at the Earth Policy Institute. He's here with us. As you've already heard by the information that he's given us, I mean, he knows his research. And we want to get right back to that while you make a quick call to 202-588-9739.
$35 makes you a member. $65 yep. gets you the book. Right. $100 gets you the three of us.
The three of us.
You with us.
And describe.
So any amount we need, you know, WPFW could use the help.
Give a little insight into the three of us. I mean, you know, are we going to be babysitting or what is it we're going to be offering?
Well, I think it depends on, you know, how much the pledge is, Terry.
Yeah. But I mean,
we're just going to be hanging out.
Just going to be hanging out.
The evening with the Raucous Caucus.
We're going to be talking. Yeah, and you know what? You know what we do best? Run our mouths. So
exactly.
We're going to be talking about whatever you might want to talk about.
We'll hear from you exactly. Whatever your view is on a specific topic.
I mean, we want to hear you. We want to hear your opinions. We want to hear your concerns. We want to hear your ideas. So that would be obviously the main reason to join us and to sit down and talk to us. We've done that from previous pledges,
and we have some really interesting discussions.
It's been fascinating. It's been absolutely fascinating. Anyway, let's get back to the topic here again. You want to call in for 202-588-9739 for the book World on the Edge.
$65 contribution.
$65.
Keep WPFW on the air. How much was that monthly? $15,500 a month? Isn't that what the rent is for WPFW?
$15,500 a month.
But it's only $5 a month if you pledge $65 a year. So there we go.
Yeah, there you have it.
So Matt, if we're scaring you and frightening you, that's a good thing. Be scared enough to pledge and keep
and just,
it going.
And just so you know where we're headed, so you don't get ready to, you know, to jump off a building or something, we're going to talk a little bit about the water situation a little bit more. We'll get into energy a little bit, and then we'll be going into what is called Plan B.
and Plan B are specific solutions that we have to manifest now. Matt, tell us a little bit more about, you were saying irrigation is 70%, the 70% of the world's water is being used for irrigation?
That's right. It's that's the global average, 70% of the world's freshwater resources. And it takes about 1,000 tons of water to grow 1 ton of wheat. 1 ton of grain, for example.
It takes 1,000 tons of water to grow 1 ton of wheat.
So as we raise living standards and the consumption of meat products, you know, meat, milk, and eggs, that puts an enormous strain on water resources as well, because now you're feeding that grain that costs 1,000 tons of water to an animal and takes a lot of grain to produce 1 pound of animal flesh for consumption. So we're seeing overpumping happening all around the world, including here in the U.S. in the Ogallala Aquifer. The water table there is falling drastically.
Which aquifer was that?
That's the Ogallala Aquifer. That's in the southern Great Plains in Nebraska, Texas, Kansas, Oklahoma.
That's where our wheat comes from.
Some of the primary, you know, grain-producing states.
Yeah, that's part of our breadbasket.
And those aquifers are dying?
I must say that every time you use the term animal flesh for consumption, it kind of freaks me out. I think I would have become like a vegan vegetarian animal flesh for consumption.
That's a product of
it makes me think of those, like, movies with the apocalyptic zombie movies, you know, Dawn of the Dead, something like that.
But it's
freaks
also
me out.
Don't consume zombie flesh.
Oh, okay. It's not good for you.
Oh, then you're right.
I'm telling you now, it's disease ridden.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, we've got a picture of the water situation. We've got a brief picture. We've got a picture of the food situation. We've talked a little bit about ethanol, but bring us up to date on the energy situation and the problems that we are facing with energy as we now use it.
Well, energy as we now use it is basically we're a fossil fuel-based 21st century civilization. And one of the biggest culprits of a warming world and climate change is coal burning.
Coal.
Yeah. And coal-fired power plants. And we also have the problem with, you know, most of our transportation is fueled by oil.
Mm-hmm. Coal's about 40% of worldwide electricity, more, 50%?
Something to that effect. I'm not sure of the overall. I know
almost
that in the U.S. it's 45%, and in China it's about 80%.
Wow. So
that's a big problem when we think about overpumping. You know, talked about overpumping water tables. We're pumping too much CO2 in the atmosphere along with the other greenhouse gases, and we're pushing ourselves out of the bounds within which civilization and agriculture developed. And so this is a very dangerous situation. We're already seeing the manifestations of climate change and stronger storms. Crop withering, heat waves, rising
seas. Flooding in Mississippi.
I'm sorry, but I was watching Fox News the other day, and I discovered...
Why were you doing that? I have discovered that climate change is a hoax.
Garland.
Yeah, I only watch Fox News when you're on Fox News.
I saw
News.
Some far right-wing senator from, I think it was Louisiana, who said that it was a hoax.
Unbelievable.
I know it's a hoax.
Another one of those little problems that we don't hear much about and the book gets into in terms of coal. You mentioned coal. Talk to us about coal ash that we basically ignore, and the coal companies ignore.
Well, a byproduct of burning coal in a power plant, you get this toxic ash that needs to be contained somewhere. And we saw the problems with that from TVA, the Tennessee Valley Authority. Their large containment facility failed, I think it was in December 2008.
Drowned the village.
And what is the toxicity?
Contaminated.
What is it toxic?
It's cyanide, right? Arsenic?
We have so many... heavy metals. There's
selenium,
selenium, mercury. These are bad things for human health, for the environment. They bioaccumulate in the food chain, and so if fish get a hold of the mercury, we eat that. It's not good news. The latest estimate for the hidden cost of coal. You know, what we pay for electricity generated with coal in a coal-fired power plant reflects what it costs to get out of the ground, to transport it to the plant, et cetera, these direct costs. The indirect costs, the hidden ones, estimated by Paul Epstein of Harvard School of Public Health, just in a study in February, I believe, is $345 billion in the United States each year from increased health
costs. And
that's,
of course, what President Obama wanted to do in a cap-and-trade plan was actually tax back some of those excess costs. After all, the coal companies are costing us $345 billion. If we could tax them enough, we could get back some of that money to – and frankly, it would make coal reflect the real cost of coal, and then we could find that wind and solar and other things are cheaper, right?
Exactly. I mean, in effect, you know, the market is telling us that fossil fuels, especially coal, are cheap because we don't pay their full cost. If we were to tax carbon And because coal is the most carbon-intensive fossil fuel, that would be the one to get phased out
first.
Pure
carbon.
But wait a minute. But, you know, I've turned on numerous mainstream media outlets, and I've seen advertisements for clean coal.
Is that coal that's not black and has no carbon in it?
Yeah.
I hear there's a new kind that's actually clear, and it burns and it emits perfume. No, clean coal is a fantasy.
Coal is pure carbon.
Exactly. The problem is...
You've got to admit, it's a nice euphemism.
It's a great euphemism, and but I have to say I'm disappointed in the clean coal commercials, because they're still plugging an electric plug into a coal rock, and that's still ugly to me. But the problem with clean coal is that...
Other than it not existing?
Even if we were able to capture all the carbon emissions and store it safely underground, which hasn't been proven yet, and it won't be in a commercially viable scale for who knows how long, that's what they're referring to when they talk about clean coal. Even if we could do that, which hasn't been proven, we're still blowing the tops off of mountains in West Virginia and Kentucky and Tennessee.
But we need more arsenic in our stream. I just said the other day, the Potomac River just doesn't have enough arsenic and selenium in it. And if I want to go in and swim, I want those chemicals. Because I like to glow. But other than me, other people may not
it's
like
a,
it.
It's a big health risk for the wildlife and the streams that are then buried by the spoil that's sort of pushed off the top of the mountain once it's blown apart. It's deforested first, and then they use explosives to blow the top
off. Well, one thing I can guarantee, and you ever notice when you see the clean coal advertisements, it's by like the petroleum, paid for by like the Petroleum Institute
American
Petroleum Institute. But you will never see those advertisements. Or hear them, rather, on WPFW 89.3 FM here in Washington, D.C. Rather, it's just the opposite. We have books such as this one by Lester Brown called World on the Edge, How to Prevent Environmental and Economic Collapse. And for just $65, you can help keep WPFW on the air and help prevent environmental and economic collapse at the same time by learning all about it and helping us to tell others about it. And we don't have to get money from the American Petroleum Institute, because you are helping us. And the number, Mark, they can do
the number
to save
the world
is
202-588-9739, 202-588-WPFW, or 1-800-222-9739.
And for a $65 pledge, you get this incredible book. And I really do assure you this is an incredible book.
But any amount is welcomed.
Yeah,
$35 gets you a membership. And $100 gets
whatever
you the three
you can
of
afford.
Us.
Yeah, and we do our best here. We're here the Raucous Caucus. We're on every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. here on 89.3 FM WPFW. Terry and Mark and I.
Show us your love.
Yes, we
show
we
us
do
your
our
support.
Best to bring you a good show.
I hear a lot of people come down to Ben's. They say they love our show. Well, this is how you show us your love.
We've even had complaints that we have too much fun. We're laughing too much about serious subjects. But sometimes you gotta laugh to keep from crying.
That's true.
But nobody, no one at WPFW is telling us what we can or can't talk about. With the subjects that we can't touch because of an advertiser. We can't talk about meals are bad for you because
we have to be gentle. Don't have to be gentle. We can give the hard facts, the hard truth. No other network in the world, not in the world, I'm sorry, but certainly in the United States does that besides
other than
Pacifica Network. Because even schools that are tied, or stations that are tied to universities, they have to be a little careful.
We're free, and
we're free only because you support us and help us.
You can keep us that way. The only way we can continue to do it is with you. WPFW is a family. You are actually part of WPFW. Most stations you turn on, you're just a listener. You're just a person out there who's hearing advertisements.
You're just a consumer.
They're hoping you'll buy from their McAdvertisers. But not with WPFW. You're part of what keeps us on the air. You're part of the family. You're part of the conversation. You can call in and talk. You can come down to Ben's and you can be a part of the conversation with us. And you can contribute and make the good things happen that happen at PFW.
So
one more time, Mark.
202-588-9739. So you're in your car now. You're driving home from work. You're a regular Raucous Caucus listener. You listen every Tuesday at 7. You love our show. You love it when I pick on Terry and he picks on me. And then we both pick
on
Garland.
Nobody picks on Garland.
You like the fact that we discuss serious issues and we do it with fun. Show us your love. Show us a little bit of your support. It's not that much money because you can give any amount you want, but for $65, you get this tremendous book.
It's basically a tank of gas, basically, for most people these days, unfortunately.
What, you haven't bought a tank of gas recently.
It's three quarters of a tank of gas for most people. Yeah. And look, if you have a credit card, we take credit cards, we know you're in your car, pull over, take out your wallet, take out your credit card, do the right thing. Help keep WPFW on the air.
202-588-9739. And let me point out one specific. You talk about being a family, Garland. I mean, that's really true. We're not just saying that if you contribute $35, you are a member of WPFW.
That's right.
A voting member. That means you not only get to run for office if you want in terms of our local station board, but you can vote for those who do run for office if you don't want to run. So you are actually part of the organization and the guidance of WPFW. No other radio station that I know of is going
to
offer
you
that.
You could vote at the Raucous Caucus 24/7.
You could.
That might be hard on us, but you could.
But we could do it.
At least 23.5. The other thing is we have on our local station board, we have various committees that talk about content and other things. You can become a voting member. You can become a part of the board. You can be a member of one of the committees.
Yep.
This is a radio station, one of the few radio stations in this nation that you can
run by listeners.
Right. You can be part of the motor that drives this. You can be part of the conversation like nowhere else. 202-588-9739. $65 gets you Lester Brown's new book, World on the Edge, How to Prevent Environmental and Economic Collapse.
So let's get to some solutions. We've heard a lot of terrible problems.
And it sort of leads, one of you were talking about, you know, the real cost of coal. And because it all ties into real cost as one of the solutions. Tell us about gasoline and what it really cost us as you lead into Plan B and the solutions.
Yeah, so in the United States, we're all worrying about $4 a gallon gas and potentially $5 a gallon gas by next summer. What we really should be paying for it, if we include all the costs of defending oil deposits abroad.
The Iraq war.
Yeah, there you go. Increased health costs from traffic jams, you know, particulate matter being emitted into the air, ground level ozone, these kinds of things. It would be about $12 a gallon.
Mississippi flooding costs.
About how much a gallon?
About $12 a gallon. That's the most recent, most accurate estimate that we've seen.
And where does that come from? Is that your group's estimate?
That is not our group. That's an update of an estimate that another group did back in 2002.
You factor in all the other costs.
That's $12 plus what we're already paying, so it would be about $15 or $16 right now. Because that's the real cost. As opposed to just a distribution.
And not to mention, when you start to add now, and what's not being counted is the countless tens of thousands of lives that we're losing through the flooding. In Moscow, you know, it's funny, you mentioned the heat wave last year. At one point, I think there was like 700 people a day dying in the Moscow area as a result, 700 or more in the Moscow area as a result of the heat wave.
The death rate in Moscow doubled that July. It was about 14 degrees Fahrenheit above the norm for the month of July.
So we're running around saying, you know, elevating things to various colored levels because we're afraid that a terrorist is going to blow us up. Meanwhile, we're dying of flooding. We're drowning of flooding. We've got more hurricanes and tornadoes and all these other things.
How does that work, Lester? How does climate change and global
warming? Lester.
I'm sorry. Lester's the author of the book.
Lester's on the
Matt,
book. This is Matt Roney, researcher Matt, at the Earth Policy
How does
Institute.
Climate change cause the flooding in the Mississippi, the extra hurricanes, the extra tornadoes that we've seen recently?
Yeah, so we always have to give the caveat that we can't blame any one instance, any one event on global warming or climate change. However, what's projected in terms of a warming world, we have more evaporation, we have more moisture going to the atmosphere that creates stronger storms, and we have more precipitation in areas that aren't used to it, you get more flooding. So these are the kinds of things that we're expected to see more of around the world, and not just increased precipitation in some areas, it's increased drought in other areas, mm-hmm. and crop withering heat waves like we saw in Russia last summer. Because it was such a drastic drop in their grain harvest, you know, they're not as big of a producer as the U.S., but it still had a big effect on world grain prices, raised wheat prices about 60% in 2 months.
So what could possibly be a solution to this horrific problem?
Well, it's going to take a worldwide mobilization. That's what Lester calls for a wartime type mobilization mm-hmm. in the spirit of World War II when the U.S. entered after Pearl Harbor and we completely changed our industrial economy. You know, we changed from producing various things to just the war effort. And that's the kind of spirit, the kind of mobilization we really need on a global level right now to re-engineer our energy economy and the way we do things in terms of population, poverty, that kind of thing. So the solution that Lester puts forth in World on the Edge is called Plan B. It's a four-step process, four main goals. Stabilize climate is number one, because if we don't reach that, there's really all of the other ones are going to be exacerbated. Second, restore the Earth's natural support systems. So the reason that the book is called How to Prevent Environmental and Economic Collapse is because the two are related, and the economy, unlike what mainstream economics tells us, is a subset of the environment.
You're right.
The economy is built on, is dependent upon the natural resources of the world and the environmental services that it provides. So while we're overfishing, overpumping water, overplowing fields, and losing the inherent productivity in those soils, pumping the atmosphere full of carbon dioxide, we are destroying the foundations for the global economy. That's why we're so close to collapse.
And explain, there's one specific in there that really intrigued me, and that was the connection between tax and real cost. And how we could shift away from an income tax, which is part of Plan B, towards an energy tax, or explain that specific solution that is in the book.
Right. Before I do that, I just want to complete my list. I realize I broke off there. So first, stabilize climate. Next, restore the Earth's natural support systems. And third and fourth are really hand in hand, stabilizing population and eradicating poverty, because they reinforce each other. When they're going badly, they reinforce each other in the wrong direction. But we can get an upward spiral, if you will. So the specific policy that you're talking about, Terry, is carbon tax. Now, there are various forms of it, but basically we raise the tax on carbon. Burning coal, using gasoline in cars, these things would...
Really any fossil fuels.
Any fossil fuel. Raise the carbon tax, but what's interesting here is we lower the income tax at an equal and an opposite level. So there's no change in the amount of tax that we're paying. We're just taxing what we burn, not what we earn. We don't want to tax work. We want to encourage that. We want to discourage the destructive things.
The income tax on you and me, the average citizen, and maybe even General Electric, decrease the...
I disagree with that latter part.
Well, you can't go down from zero,
that's right,
so it's hard to decrease.
But decrease the income tax as you gradually increase the carbon tax. Right?
Exactly. Now, this is actually a Republican proposal. In fact, Tim Pawlenty used to support it until he started running for president.
The one of George W. Bush's chief economic advisors, Gregory Mankiw, said after he was out of office, he said that the revenue neutral tax shifting, meaning raise the tax on energy, reduce the tax on work, is about the closest thing to a free lunch that economics can provide. So he's well in favor of it, as are thousands of other economists, including Paul Krugman, Nobel Prize winning economist, who writes for the New York Times.
And who did you mention, Mark, that was behind this idea?
Well, I mean, originally this was a Republican idea. Now, they've all disowned it. They've all disavowed it. But they originally, this was a compromise. So the idea was, instead of just regulating carbon, which the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, has an absolute right to do, they said, well, instead of regulating everyone, if you do a cap and trade program, what you can do is, if somebody really needs their carbon because it makes a fortune because they're making diamonds for dental equipment, then they'll pay the tax and they'll use it. Whereas people who are just burning fuel to, keep their grill warm,
so they have 400 horsepower instead of 200.
Exactly.
But it wasn't tied to the income tax before.
Well, it's always been...
I mean, that's what's unique about this policy, right?
Well...
Yeah, I mean, that is.
I don't know that we should be lowering income taxes for the...
Well, the point is, if I understand it, Matt, was we maintain the same revenue intake by tying the two together.
Right, and the main point of this is to accelerate the shift to renewable energy. Everyone who is in favor of continuing with business as usual and burning fossil fuels and keeping renewables a small player says that, well, renewables are very expensive and therefore they're not viable economically. Well, we already talked about the fact that we don't pay the full cost for coal, oil, natural gas. We also heavily subsidize them.
Right.
So at the same time, so proponents of fossil fuels will say you're heavily subsidizing wind and solar and geothermal, not even close to what we're spending on the destructive fuels that our economy is based on right now.
There was a big discussion recently about giving subsidies to oil companies. The Republicans really want to pay that extra money to give the subsidies to oil companies. So that's what you're talking about, actually subsidizing going the wrong
way. Right. I mean, well, they're already getting quite a bit. There's the oil depletion balance. There's all sorts of other things that, better their bottom line at the expense of our health and our planet.
We're running out of time a little bit. Yeah.
So let me throw this in. Since we're running out of time, let me throw this in. Very important. If you find that this is an interesting conversation, which I'm sure you do, and you really want to understand the gist of what we're talking about, it's right here in Les Brown's book, Lester R. Brown.
Lester R. Brown. Not Les Brown. That's a musician.
Yeah, Lester R. Brown, World on the Edge, How to Prevent Environmental and Economic Collapse. Just $65. If you think this is an interesting conversation, then you probably also recognize how important it is that this conversation gets out, that people hear this, so they can make some noise about it, so they can contact their elected officials. The only way that's going to happen is if somebody talks about it. And the only way somebody's going to talk about it
is on WPFW 89.3
FM. WPFW on the air, because ain't nobody else talking about it. 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. $65. You'll get this book, World on the Edge, and How to Prevent Environmental and Economic Collapse. That means it can be prevented, but you got to be a part of it by getting the book and by keeping WPFW on the air. 202-588-9739.
Yeah, we're running out of time. I want to get one other idea introduced here, and then we'll get back to just asking, defining the pledge situation a little bit more. But there's talk about a shift in the military focus, a shift in our defense focus. Explain that shift as part of Plan B.
This idea is redefining security, because one of the legacies of the 20th century, unfortunately, is a sense of security that's largely military in nature. We had the two world wars, Vietnam, Iraq, well, the first Iraq anyway. And the holdover of that is this sense that a heavily armed superpower is what we need to be afraid of and what we need to defend against, and therefore spend even more money on the army and other things in the defense budget.
We spend more than all other countries combined.
We have about 1.6 trillion, I think, globally, and the U.S. is, I think, you know, for one-fourth of that, if not more. But the point here is that when we lay out the components of Plan B, the restoring natural support systems, stabilizing population, and eradicating poverty, all of these things such as increasing education, especially for girls, because more educated women wait longer to get married, have fewer children when they do, that takes care of some of the population issue that we're seeing in countries that are already running up against their natural limits and can't afford large population growth. So these things, this list of initiatives can be done for less than $200 billion annually a year on top of what the international community is already spending. And so that's about 1/8 of the global military budget to address the things that are the real threats to civilization right now, not a heavily armed superpower, but these things like rapidly rising populations, growing number of failing states,
and not just the threat to civilization. What we're talking about is a threat to our security. Because as chaos develops because of these economic crises, these environmental crises, these food crises, water crises, energy crises, that's what's going to create the instability of the world that is the threat to the United States and to every other country in the world. And we've got the basic plan, as I understand it, is to take a portion of the defense budget towards preventing the instability before it develops, before we have failing states and countries falling under dictatorship, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That's right. It's basically, as I said, redefining security and shifting a portion of that military budget to what the real threats are.
We have really run out of time here, which is unfortunate because there's so much more that's offered in this book. And we really want to thank you, Matt, for joining us here. Matt Roney from the Earth Policy Institute.
One more
time, is World on the Edge, How to Prevent Environmental and Economic Collapse, an essential book. $65, and all you got to do is call
202-588-9739. Give a pledge of $65. The book is yours. Give a pledge of $35. You're a voting member. Give a pledge of $100. You get an evening with the three of us.
And any one of those pledges, you're a voting member.
And any amount is, frankly, support the Raucous Caucus. Support WPFW. We need your support.
It really is. We are grateful for any membership support that we get. And we, you know, I'm not trying to put, we've had contributions as low as $10 and $5. We're equally grateful whether you give us $1,000, $1 million, or $5. You know, just be a part of WPFW and the Raucous Caucus. 202-588-9739.
1-800-222-9739.
Next week, we'll be back in studio.
We will
take your calls. It'll be the last week of Pledge Week, so make your pledge now.
Make your pledge
we
now.
We could use it.
Right. And I am Terry DeKester. It's a pleasure to be with you. With
Mark Levine.
And Garland Nixon.
And our special guest, Matt Roney from the Earth Policy Institute.
Wanna
and, of course, Drew on the board over here and David on the board back in the studio. And all the volunteers back in the studio taking the phone calls, receiving the pledges, et cetera. Thank you all so much for supporting WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica. We will continue to broadcast.
And it's not too late.
You support us.
It's not too late to pledge.
Even for the Raucous
Caucus.
It really isn't.
WPFW, Washington.